So in case you were a little scared about the wilderness out there when you leave, we have seen a cat roaming this morning. And then the chickens are always frolicking in the back. And then, of course, I've seen even a few rabbits pop their heads out as it gets warmer. So for our invocation, hear these two verses, one from Psalm 118 and the other from Micah 6, combined. This is the day that the Lord has made for us to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. So what a surprising spring forward morning to gather as God's people. The once lowered blinds, if you remember, during the time after Epiphany over there, they were lowered during that season to create a balance of light and darkness and to, more than anything, expose the shadow of the cross. And now they're raised. We look out to our winter spotted gardens, hopeful. Hopeful as daylight hours grow, as bulbs peek through the soil, as geeks squawk overhead, and as ice sheets on streams of living water melt away into the wilderness. Meanwhile, in this space, and joining from afar all of you, we give thanks. We give thanks at the font. We give thanks for baptism as we read from Romans. Hear these words again. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This Lent, as we travel with our Messiah to the Garden of Gethsemane, watch out for those cliffs, by the way. That was where the Son prayed to his Father. And in this season, we pause. We linger before Holy Week, where we remember the crucifixion of Christ at the evil hands and hearts of betrayal. Oh, how much endurance the Son of Man had to have in order to continue his ministry work, knowing he would die. Forgiving, healing, and teaching those first followers. They left everything they knew and followed him. And those folks were sinners like you and like me. I was thinking about the word endurance in this text, that it's not a common word, I would say, but it's a big, complex word, and I think it goes both physically and spiritually. Endurance may look different depending on the lens you look through, especially like age or life experience, your opinions and values, or especially your level of pain tolerance. Some examples I was thinking about of human endurance nowadays. The middle schooler who studies for a difficult math test or worries and frets if the bully will sit at the same lunch table. Endurance of the grandparent who braves hours learning new technology or simply getting up and down from the floor after playing. Yeah, I knew that one would. The same grandparent prays constantly that God will protect their family from danger. Then there's another type of endurance, that which our nation's military faces daily, fighting in war-torn countries, caring for scared children in makeshift shelters, or the profound endurance that accompanies the unknown, especially as we've heard of late. Which unit will be called up next? What news will come when the doorbell rings at wee hours of the morning? Dear Spirit of Joy, partners, friends, and neighbors, in this sacred season of Lent, and every day for that matter, we're building up to the greatest saga ever of how endurance connects to our faith lives with Jesus. Today we heard from the Epistle of Romans about what we believe, what we Christians believe, that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Can we get an amen? Amen. Right. This semester in confirmation, we've spent time with Lutheran history, and I have to say to my dear professors back at Wartburg Seminary, I enjoyed it so much. Reviewing, we've reviewed how Jesus lovers like Martin Luther and other reformers paved the way. And those same reformers, well, not the same ones, but different ones, are continuing the Reformation as we speak. And now, as per Paul's letter, we have received reconciliation in Jesus Christ. I had to slow down there because reconciliation takes a lot of syllables. We have received reconciliation in Jesus for his ultimate sacrifice, and for that, we are forever grateful. We stand strong. We stand strong knowing endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. We've heard these powerful and prophetic words before, but it takes, as I was thinking and dwelling in this text, it takes even more endurance to believe these words, the word of God, to be true. Again, I offer more examples. Some questions. How do we witness to parents who watch in despair as we are speaking, as their son's mind and body deteriorates from a childhood disease? What do we say to the adult children of Nancy Guthrie who in agony await any sign? What did we say when I was 13? And we waited for the Iranian hostages to come home. I wear my same yellow ribbon to all who haven't come home. And what can we possibly say to parents whose soldier sons and daughters return home without breath in their lungs? In the anguish of the human condition, even in the blessed assurance, we sing out loudly, blessed assurance, even with that blessed assurance that Jesus Christ died for all, it's so, so, so hard, almost impossible, to tell folks whose burdens are raw and real as the day is long that suffering produces character. So to offer a little perspective from my humble life story, I'll share a precious memory that has helped me in these weeks, especially last month, to understand today's epistle lesson. And I encourage you, as you leave today, to think of how you're connecting to today's text. It was 2017. My dad's name was Gary. He was at home for his final earthly days. My mom and brother and sister-in-law, we were all there, and some friends and other relatives had come and gone. I was taking my turns at caring for Dad, we all were. But I knew the time would be short when I had to leave Arizona and fly out back to Minnesota. What could I possibly offer my suffering father? I had sat as a volunteer five or six years at the bedside as a hospice volunteer, but this was different. So what could I offer? And an answer came, I think, out of the clouds that was healing for both of us. As he lay in the borrowed hospital bed in the middle of the living room, I gave my dad a sponge bath, gently washing his frail, thin, tired body. It was then, as this text speaks to us, somehow it was then that the Spirit's peace fell over me. In his Iowa plowboy words, that was his CB handle, Dad said he was ready to go home. And I take that to mean home with a capital H, to his Arizona mountains of only 4 months. I knew in that moment, for as hard as it was, that another disciple was being called by God, by the Spirit, by Triune God, to dwell among the saints in light. So with Easter nearing, we return to Scripture again and again, like in Romans. We will suffer. We will doubt. It's our job to doubt as Christians. We will scream to the universe, Lord, why? Oh, Lord, why? And it's in these times that we stand and we proclaim that Jesus died to bear the sins of the world. In our suffering, God's Son, Spirit Advocate, carries and comforts us. Jesus is our strength and our salvation, a lifetime of promise. Remember, as we leave this place, watch out for the tarantulas. As we leave this place, the good Lord made this day, March 8th, 2026. There has never been a day like this, and there never will be such a glorious day as this, to act justly and walk hand in hand with our neighbors, even when we disagree. My friends, may you find peace knowing that Christ died for you and that he will rise again. Dear, dear, dear people of God, the Easter story is here to stay. Believe this and you will live. Thanks be to our keeper, the one who tended the first soils, who we will continue tending. And thanks be to God, our creator.